Football on Off the Ball.
I had a 2-year plan to get back to the Premier Division, and when Shelburne came knocking, I couldn't say no, so...
Join in the obsession.
Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every Premier League game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+, gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
You're welcome back. Now, I'm delighted to say that Republic of Ireland and Birmingham City centre-back Louise Quinn is with us on the line. Evening, Louise. How are you doing?
Evening, lads. How are you?
Very well. I guess we'll get the big question out of the way. First of all, everybody will be dying to know, how are you getting on in terms of the race to be fit for the Wales clashes? How's the body, basically?
The body is doing a good bit better, and rehab has been going, I think, really quite well. So it's still a bit touch and go, to be honest. But so far, it's going well. But we can't put an absolute date on it yet, unfortunately.
What was the experience like for the Georgia camp? Obviously, initially being in the squad, having to pull out of that and having to watch from the sidelines for such a pivotal couple of games that are central to this group's dreams for next summer. What was that experience like being in, but also having to be a bit of a bystander?
Yeah, it was. It was definitely a strange one. I was here at home watching, you know, the first leg, and had Lucy Quinn over to watch the game as well. And yeah, it was just a very odd experience. But listen, the girls did great. And then, yeah, I had to go to Tala for the second leg. I had to be a part of it, and then see, you know, all the girls and the staff after the game was just, yeah, it was really important for me, because it was difficult to be on the outside, but that is sport, isn't it? And yeah, I've just got to take this injury as it comes.
Incredibly unusual, Louise, in these games. Firstly, not to see you on the pitch, but Nifahi as well. There can't be many times over the last decade, if not longer, that Ireland have played with neither of you on the pitch.
Yeah, listen, I'm still trying to even remember the last time, where I maybe missed a camp. And I think it could have been, Emma Byrne's 100th cap, I think, like Croatia, years ago. Probably will be able to find out the date, but yeah, a long time ago. And obviously still to have, you know, I mean, Fahy is still definitely, you know, in amongst it and a part of it. But yeah, it was odd. It was odd to be in club during international break. I don't know what to expect. Even when I was getting my tickets at Tala Stadium, I was like, where do I get these? Where do I go? How do you get in? What happens at halftime? Like, it was all, yeah, it was very bizarre.
You're walking down the tunnel at halftime and security are stopping you.
Yeah, sometimes they were taking a double take, being like, can you come in? And I was like, yeah, no, that's not today.
And here you're still in the midst of it, and I'm sure you're desperate not just to qualify, but then to be a part of it next summer. But then you do look at that back line and that next generation, where it's been so difficult for centre-backs to break through because you've been so brilliant for so long. The likes of Anna Patton and Caitlin Hayes and Eva Mannion even getting their opportunities and suddenly starting to get some caps under the belt. Like, there's a real, real depth there now.
Yeah, and I think that actually made it easier. And I know that sounds a bit strange. You know, it's competition is fantastic, but that's the thing. There's no, the fact that, yeah, listen, I might be out, or occasionally maybe Fahy has been out, or Diane Caldwell. But the strength there in those centre backs is incredible. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like we are still as strong. I still feel like, you know, any of us can go in and we still have incredible strength. In the back line. So yeah, I was absolutely, you know, confident watching the girls go out. Obviously it was strange seeing Caitlin Hayes wearing number 4, but she said she'd do the jersey proud, but I was like, no better woman, to be honest.
How do you think the Wales playoff is going to feel compared to the Scotland playoff, like in terms of pressure, in terms of importance? Because I guess it depends on how involved you're going to be in these two fixtures. Maybe it's something that would be more nerve-wracking for you if you're not involved at all.
Yeah, it absolutely could be. I think it is a strange one. It's just like the fact that it is over two legs is, you know, I think a difficult one. Obviously, maybe, you know, the first round, the semi-final of playoffs, you know, maybe over two legs. But to have such a crucial game played over two legs, I think is, you know, it's really going to prove, you know, and test and see who really is up for it. You know, for me, it would obviously, I think trying to put a lot of every bit of ounce of energy and passion and everything you've got into one game seems a bit more fair, you know, and kind of winner takes all, to be honest, because it's going to be an exhausting 10 days for both teams. So it is going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. But, you know, we've been in this scenario before. And yeah, this is for us now to use that experience. And from Scotland, again, we're playing, you know, our friends from across the pond. And yeah, it's going to make it very, very, very interesting, I think. I think it's going to be a feisty game, to be honest.
Does it feel different, the atmosphere, the expectation around this compared to the Scotland game?
I think it's something we are still very much taking in our stride. Like you know, it was probably the timing of even, or like, you know, how we got to the World Cup and when it happened. Not that it was unexpected, but, you know, just the how to qualify for a World Cup is, you know, it's an absolute maze, to be honest. And every, you know, hurdle you have to jump, and this has been, you know, a bit more relatively straightforward, and it just feels right. You know, we're getting ourselves into playoff position, and that feels exactly where we should be. We should be right on the edge of qualifying for tournaments every 2 years. So for me, I think, yeah, I just feel like we're exactly where we need to be honest. And I think just having that experience of qualifying before and then, yeah, and going to a World Cup, I feel like it just feels right.
Was your sense from the squad when you were in Tala that those Georgia games were the perfect games for this? I know it wasn't a similar scoreline as previous and probably not as many goals as anybody wanted in the game in Tala, but after such an incredibly difficult qualifying campaign for the Euros, and you're playing the best teams in the world every single time, to have something actually where everyone can just relax a little bit, play their own game, get a few goals, build a little bit of confidence. And I know, I'm sure you're taking a huge amount from all of those matches, what you would have learned playing the very best in the world, but actually just being able to relax and enjoy your football is not a bad thing to have.
No, it's not. And I think, yeah, it kind of just maybe balances out, I think, still the importance of the Georgia games and still having, you know what I mean, Georgia is still a very difficult place to go to in terms of even the travel. Obviously, their men's team had a hugely successful Euros and you know, I think they gained momentum off that as well. You could see it from the crowd as well. Last time we were even there was, you know, a handful of people there, and, you know, they had a lot of support this time. So I think it can definitely balance out. You know, we've had to do a lot of backs against the wall, but then, right, how do we go and create? And we had to be so, so clinical in the Nations League. Whereas in this was, okay, how are we going to handle now? Completely flip of games. And how are we going to do now with this, you know, pretty much total control of the ball? And how do we break down teams? Because that phase may come in either of the Wales games where, you know, we could be dominating and we have to be able to take those chances. Yeah, so I think it is just that bit of learning. I think it was... I'd say it was just nice to have the ball, to be honest, to kind of feel in control. And I think that was important. I feel like sometimes at the start of the Nations League, we were really trying to get a foothold in everything and try to really step up to that level. And we definitely got there probably from the halfway point. I think we really started to prove ourselves and show in those games. And yeah. And then in Georgia, I think it was important for us to have the ball a lot more and to see what we could do with it.
It must be a completely different experience as a centre-back going from these situations where you're expected to not only beat a team but to beat them handsomely, and then kind of go from that to maybe the clashes against England and France in the Nations League where you're expected to be the underdogs. I presume it's something maybe that Birmingham City and your own experience in that team would have experienced over the last few years as well, going from WSL to WSL2, being the hunter versus the hunted, for lack of a better phrase. As a centre-back, I presume you've got a lot more to do when you are in the lower reaches, or if you are the underdog, compared to actually being the dominant team.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely now where it's probably the tightest championship, you know, race so far. I think there's about six or seven of us in and amongst it all within a couple of points. But yeah, you know, we think we are one of the teams to be, you know, chased down and looked after, and people, you know, everyone wants to come out and beat us. And, you know, that's obviously a credit to ourselves in terms of how we've pushed the season each year. It's also a credit now to the club who've really stepped up, you know, both on the men's and the women's side, and have stepped up and being like, listen, we want our teams to be, you know, promoted and getting up into the top league in the next few years. You know, hopefully for us that can happen this season. But yeah, it's we've had to learn from our last couple of seasons in the championship. It is a very, very difficult league to be in and amongst. You know, teams just know how to get 3 points, even if it isn't the prettiest of football. It's a lot of we're trying to take control of games and, you know, good possession, whereas in other teams may not want to do that. And you've got to try figure out how to get the grit and the dirt and get in amongst it and figure out how to win games. And it's sometimes not done by the, you know, the prettiest of football, but very effective football.
It was obviously a big night and it's a big week in the Champions League, and your former team had a very convincing win earlier. Arsenal were 4-0 winners against Juventus. Just sticking on the centre-back side of things, Lee Williamson's got quite a bit of criticism over the last while, people questioning whether she should still be in the England team. They've stuck with her, and since the night that the corner has most definitely been turned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me it has. Listen, Leah, she's absolutely brilliant. To not be named in an England squad just because she might be having, you know, a bit of a bad patch is, to me, is just crazy. You know, everything that she brings, she's their captain, she's a leader, she's experienced. And yeah, listen, if maybe, you know, some moments in games haven't gone her way, to me, it doesn't, you know, that shouldn't include an exclusion from the squad. And she, you know, played with, you know, total confidence tonight, I think, as well, the other day against Brighton as well. They were all very, you know, very convincing. It did take Arsenal a while tonight to kind of take control of the game, and they let Juve in a few times. But you can definitely just see them playing more flowing football again. And that is going to come from, you know, some of their leaders now stepping back up. Leah just gaining her confidence back, which, you know, it wasn't going to take her long to do that, to be honest.
When it comes to Katie McCabe's role in the team this season, just looking at the formation tonight, it was Catley at centre-back, McCabe at left-back. Is McCabe now a left-back full stop for Arsenal? Is it going to be as fluid as it was last season, or how do you see that storyline going this year?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I think it does seem that left-back is her position. You know, at times when Catley was coming back from her injury, you know what I mean, they might actually sub Katie off and put Steph Catley on. And at times it just seemed to disrupt the balance. So now they've actually made a place for Catley in centre-back, and they're keeping Katie left-back, which, I, you know, for me is the best decision for Arsenal in terms of keeping Katie on the pitch. She is their most consistent player. For me, you know, you will always get a minimum 7 out of 10 from Katie, and most of the time she's an 8 or a 9. She is probably their most consistent player and has been for the last 2-3 seasons easily.
Are we seeing a similar trend in WSL and Women's Champions League football that we're maybe seeing in men's football at the moment? And maybe I'm just picking this out because it's an Arsenal conversation where they signed someone like Ricardo Calafiori in the summertime, and there was almost a blurred line between whether he's a centre-back or a full-back. And maybe when you talk about Steph Catley, there is a similar thing going on. Is that part of a wider trend, or is it just a mere coincidence that Arsenal seem to have two players who are fairly versatile across the back four?
Yeah, I think for me it does seem like that, you know, because I think you want both Steph and Katie in your team. So when Steph is fit as well, she is, you know, incredibly consistent. I think she is slightly more on the defensive side of that kind of left back. She's, you know, she's strong, she's sturdy, you know, she'll absolutely get the job done. Whereas in Katie can do both and wants to do both and will do both, regardless if she's told basically what to do. Do you know what I mean? She will get up and down that wing, you know, where she'll come inside. She'll become kind of that inverted fullback into midfield. And I think that's what helps Arsenal flow and link their play. You know, when it is nice for them to be solid. And I think they can be very solid at the back when Catley is there. But then I don't think they create as much. Because she just holds back slightly, and in which, you know, against certain teams that's going to work really well. But for me, you know, with Katie kind of having a couple of jobs in that role, for me it works how Arsenal want to play.
Of course, it might all change depending on the management situation. It does look as though their first choice, Nick Cushing, who's with New York, has turned it down. So the interim manager is still there since they sacked Jonas Eidevelde. Maybe the interim manager just becomes the permanent manager.
Yeah, listen, I've no idea at the moment, but she's a very experienced player. I would have played against her in Sweden as well, back in the day, and now obviously she's become a very established coach, and it could be something that Arsenal are looking at. Do they want to look at something or someone that's maybe more high profile or, you know, a lot more experienced? But I think she's done a very good job right now. You can see that the confidence is high, especially, you know, amongst the attackers. I felt like the likes of Russo, Blackstenius, just confidence was low. They didn't seem to be flowing. Their eye was not there in front of goal at all. It wasn't what we're used to seeing from them. So I think she's just really simplified it for them and kind of brought Arsenal back to what they were.
Before the playoffs, we've got the end of the Nations League campaign for the men over the next couple of nights. Just on the Irish men's centre-back situation, there's an awful lot of talent there. But we've a habit of shooting ourselves in the foot. And like, this is particularly Nathan Collins, who, you know, the level he's getting to, even again at the weekend with Brentford, he looks primed for somebody who could play for a Champions League team. He's so comfortable with the ball at his feet and taking it under pressure. Yet these sort of catastrophic mistakes are just that little bit too common. As someone who plays in that position, why is it that those mistakes seem to happen? Like the thing that from the outside you say is a bit too casual, he's a bit maybe overconfident at times. What might be the underlying reason for this? Because you feel if he gets rid of that, well, the world's his oyster.
Yeah, that's it. I think I love watching Nathan Collins for Brentford. I really enjoy watching Brentford at the moment as well. And it just seems like that potentially with the Irish squad and what's been said a lot in the past, it is unsure what their style of play is, what is their USP, what are they good at and what do they want to do? And I think that might be creeping into, you know, some of the players' heads being like, they're probably used to, and what Brentford are, how they're coached. They know exactly where they have to be, what they have to do. They can do, you know, a lovely bit of individual, you know, skill or do this, that and the other. But the players around that know in Brentford, and you see Collins do it all the time, whereas with the Irish squad, we still just seem unsure exactly how we want to play. And it is going to take time for Helmer to get that right. But it is just about trying to bring that confidence in. So can they become defensively stable? So then when they're kind of going to attack, that will kind of bring that, like, you know, an end product, a finished product. So then it's not all this pressure on the back line. You know, when they do, they want to play more from the back, play more, you know, the fans, we want to see them play more, but they've also got to do it in the right way and the right time that we're not, you know, potentially just leaving players exposed. So for me, it's a little bit of, we haven't exactly nailed down what we want to do. So it's leading to a lot of individual mistakes.
How hard is it, Louise, to nail that down at international level when the turnarounds are so tight? Like, I was at the training session yesterday. It was 10 outfield players training. I'm not sure if he'll get the 11 all on the pitch together before Thursday. So we've just been talking about it's meetings, 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 rather than fleshing it out on the training pitch.
Listen, yesterday's session is definitely, you know, given the lads who've played at the weekend that, you know, that bit of time to recover. But yeah, it has to be, they have to be ready. Like, you know, those meetings are intense, and it's not, you know, you go into a lot of meetings and clubs, and not that you can get away with it, but sometimes some of the stuff isn't relevant to you all the time. Whereas in these, you know, national team meetings, it is, everyone has to be switched on. You have to absorb everything like a sponge and be ready to go. Because yeah, as you say, they probably won't, potentially not all get on the pitch until match day minus one. So until tomorrow, everyone may not be on the pitch together. And that, like that are, they are the demands of international football. You have to be prepared and ready to do that, and then also be able to put out a performance. So it is, yeah, it's very difficult, but they know this. They've been in the national team for years. They know what's required. So now that things like, you know, the ship has been steadied now, we know who the manager is. And now we've just got to really crack down on what we want to do. And yeah, and we definitely saw moments like that in the away leg in Finland. So, you know, hopefully again, we can replicate that. And they just need to build that confidence. They need a real steady and assured performance on Thursday.
Have you played in teams, Louise, where it's unclear what the manager or what the coaching setup wants you to do?
Like, yeah, I suppose so. But as you say, the turnaround is quick. So it is literally trying to, you know, get every detail. And then sometimes you can have so many questions that you can try work out on the board. But truthfully, it's maybe not going to come out until you do it on the pitch. So there's been a lot of moments where you talk about as many scenarios as you can possible. But then that's why we're international players. You have to be able to then figure it out and at least have a good, solid defensive structure. And, you know, and that doesn't mean sitting on the edge of the box and doing this, that and the other. It just means potentially just sitting in a really nice, comfortable mid block, which everyone pretty much should know how to do. And it's pretty much a nice, safe space to be when you're just trying to work things out or break a team down and keep yourself in the game. So yeah, probably in moments you can, because at the same time you cannot predict what the other team are going to do. You know, and that's part and parcel of it, and it can be, you know, a very exciting way to go into it. But then also, yeah, listen, that's where you've just got to be totally switched on and hoping everyone is knows their role in their position.
Yeah, that's the key thing. If it's not overly clear everybody's role and their position, like I guess I just asked that previous question as to like what's the manifestation of that on the pitch? Is it players who look like they're lacking in confidence? Is it players who look like they're more error prone? Because they've certainly been two of the things that you could accuse some Irish players of in the last couple of games in the men's team.
And yeah, that is probably it. You know, it is, sometimes it can just be that level of detail where, you know, we'll take Nathan Collins and Brentford, for example. You know, they will play a lot. You know, I feel like they don't even need to look to see where they're playing their next pass. And, you know, and so maybe Collins likes to look inside, so then they bounce outside to the winger, but that may not be on in terms of what the opposition does. They may have the centre crowded out. Little bounce passes centrally just may not be on. Or the bounce to the fullback is potentially a pressing trigger. And if you just don't read that or get that right, it can just, yeah, lead to simple little errors of stuff that you may do day in, day out with club, just doesn't come across. So again, it's international football is definitely another level of focus, because with your club, you can, as I'm saying, play some passes without even looking, you know where your teammates are going to be. International football, you may have two or three days to get ready for sometimes the biggest, game of your career. And so it's got to be, everyone's got to have the best idea possible of what they're doing. But if they do the basics, literally the basics of football, it can start to iron itself out. And they need leaders in there. They need leaders to be able to take control. So they need Collins to, be able to step up in those moments. They need, central midfield, which is a relatively new, bunch of lads, very, very talented, again, doing really well with their club. But, are they going to be able to direct and, boss other people around to get the team where they need to be?
Really interesting stuff. Louise, before we let you go, I see Manchester City have just gone 2-0 up in the Champions League. Is it Barcelona's year this year for the Champions League, or are you predicting somebody else?
Well, yeah, I think City are in with a shout. How they're getting on this season so far, they've been, I think, by far the most consistent and exciting. Obviously, Chelsea again are going to be in there. But yeah, I think Man City might cause a few upsets. Barcelona are always in it, will always be in it, will probably be in the final. Who they'll be with will be very interesting. It would be, for me at the moment, I think it could be City or Chelsea.
Louise Quinn, very best of luck with the recovery. Hopefully we'll see you out on the pitch very shortly. Thanks a million.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks, Louise.
That's Louise Quinn of Ireland and of Birmingham City. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Nathan going through how many footballers exactly from England would make it into the Ireland
team. This is Owen Doyle's issue.
Back in a sec.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill, you can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.